I hope that you're not just enjoying, but also getting something out of this new season of the Michael Lawson Speaks podcast. This is episode 8 of Bereshit, in the beginning, a commentary to the book of Genesis. We've just started chapter 2 and have just concluded Creation Week, where we addressed each day by the creation day, carefully unpacking them for this particular level of study. Now, could we have gone deeper, spent more time carefully examining every day? Of course. But this is not that type of commentary. My hope and prayer is that this will excite you to go and search the scriptures for yourself, causing you to fall deeply in love with the Word of God. So with that, this episode is going to be very different from the others for one obvious reason. We are no longer talking about individual days, and therefore we will be covering more ground, which is why this episode will be all about the remaining of chapter 2. So we're going to cover verses 4 through 25. So let's get started. In verses 4 through 7. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made heaven and earth. Now, no shrub of the field was yet on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living person. Wow. So let's unpack that for a second. The creation of man. So chapter 1 gave us a summary of the creation of the world. Now chapter 2 begins to tell the story of that creation in more detail, beginning with the crown jewel, mankind. Remember, God spoke it, and it was so, and it was good. However, with mankind, God forms from the dust from the ground and then breathes into his nostrils the breath of life in order that he would become a living person. Now, already we see how unique man is in that he is unlike any other created thing because he is formed, which to me speaks of intimacy, precision, and most of all, love. Imagine for a moment the absolute level of closeness involved in order to breathe into his nostrils so that he would become a living, breathing creature. Again, to me, that speaks of how close and intimate man is intended to be with the Creator God. Let's take a look at verses 8 and 9. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused every tree to grow that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, the Garden of Eden, or in Hebrew it's Gan Eden, literally translated paradise. So the Garden of Eden was paradise made for mankind, Adam. verses 10 through 14, the four rivers. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there as well. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. So, simply put, these are four rivers in the Middle East, and their whereabouts today are quite unknown and, quite frankly, should not matter if, at the end of the day, it does nothing to change your heart to God, to where you hear with the intention to do, act in accordance to His word, and walk out what it says each and every day. Let's continue on, verses 15 through 20. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and tend it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. Then the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the sky and to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. Okay, there's a lot there, so let's get right to it. I'm looking at this, as I call this, the option. You see, man is created and escorted to paradise with plenty of water to nourish the plants and trees to sustain the man perfectly. The options must have been endless, with so many trees to choose from to satisfy mankind's hunger and drinking from the rivers to quench his thirst. However, without the prohibition to not do something, mankind is nothing more than an animal. Without the ability to choose freely one thing over another, mankind is unable to act on his own. Therefore, you have the command from God to see if mankind will choose God or choose his own way. We cannot blame God for the consequences of our choices when we know better. And you might even argue that the man didn't know better because no one told him. But that's not true when you look at all that was presented him. Perfect glory and beauty. The best example I can come up with was that it would be like blaming the police officer for pulling you over for speeding when you know the speed limit and then trying to use the excuse, "I didn't know," when it's written on driver's tests and signs are posted everywhere. Notice how God makes very clear the consequences of a decision that is contrary to his command by stating, "For on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die." I believe that was in verse 17. So, What is God really saying? Remember that God is a spirit and man didn't become a living being until God breathed his spirit, the breath of life, into his nostrils. This is an important distinction because Satan is going to use these words against Eve in order to convince her that God is not being completely truthful. We'll see that in the next episode. Verses 21 through 25. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which had been taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "At last, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, but they were not ashamed. So let's look at this. This is what I call marriage defined. Here we have the very first marriage, and it is orchestrated by, presided over, and ordained by God himself. Through this, we get to see the heart of God and his view of marriage as being between one man and one woman forever. Notice how they became one flesh. And how do we know that marriage between one man and one woman is right? Because the Creator just defined it for us, and since he created everything, he also gets to make the rules. I dare you to try and separate a piece of meat and then join it to another piece of meat, or better yet, join a piece of chicken with a piece of meat from a pig and call it a steak. You can't do that. In fact, it sounds silly, and yet take a look around. That's exactly what society is doing by redefining marriage, trying to convince us that this piece of mixed meat is actually steak, or better yet, that it's natural that I've joined these things together because I'm redefining marriage. I know that's a silly and terrible example, but I'm sure you get the point. Notice how the man and his wife were both naked, but they were not ashamed. I believe this speaks to them being completely open and exposed before each other with nothing to hide. They saw each other completely. Now, that may be over-spiritualizing, but like I said before, I would at least tell you when I'm doing it. And I hope I don't overdo it. Anyway, remember, God made mankind from the ground and then fashioned woman by taking a piece of man. He did not take a new batch of ground from the earth to form a woman and then bring to the man his wife. Until next time, when we will begin chapter 3. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. Shalom.